السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ. اشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله. اما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
In the Holy Quran, Allah the Almighty states, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها, that Allah burdens not any soul beyond its capacity. Therefore, God the Almighty has clearly stated that He does not give any injunction that is beyond the capacity or capabilities or abilities of man. And so, whenever any commandment comes from God the Almighty, which is not beyond one's capacity, it then becomes a responsibility upon mankind to act upon it and adhere to it. A true believer cannot present the excuse that a certain commandment is beyond his capacity. If one has faith in God the Almighty, then it is incumbent that one should also profess the belief that all of God the Almighty's commandments are according to their capabilities, and they should endeavor to act upon them accordingly, to the best of their abilities. This is the beautiful teaching of Islam, because God the Almighty does not present any commandment and then state that its highest standards should undoubtedly and unquestionably be achieved, or else you'll be punished for not doing so. In fact, he states that it is necessary to adhere to the commandment according to one's abilities. When we study the nature of man, we find that each person is different in nature. Their level of intellect, physical structure, knowledge, wisdom and so forth all vary from one another. In view of man's weaknesses and deficiencies, nature and needs, God Almighty has given flexibility in His commandments, and has outlined both its minimum and maximum standards. Therefore, when such flexibility exists, God Almighty states that one should act upon His commandments with all integrity and honesty. This is the beautiful teaching of Islam, which has been revealed according to man's nature. No one is left with the excuse that, O Allah, You have created me with such a nature and such faculties, but they do not concord with the injunctions You have given. Your commandment is to attain the highest standard of adhering to Your injunctions, but my physical condition is such that I cannot adhere to that standard. Or my mental intellect or other weaknesses are an impediment to achieving this standard. Therefore, how can I adhere to them? However, God the Almighty has stated, La yukallifu Allahu nafsan illa wus'aha, that Allah burdens not any soul beyond its capacity, and thus He has removed all excuses. God Almighty has commanded man to obey His commandments, and has instructed him to adhere to His teachings. But by establishing the basic and most minimum standard, He has eliminated the possibility of anyone presenting an excuse for not being able to adhere and act upon it. He states that these are the standards which you must attain according to your conditions. You must most certainly act upon that. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, has stated that no person can be compelled to believe in something that is against human reasoning. No one has been burdened with any religious injunction that is beyond their strength and capacity. La yukallifu Allahu nafsan illa wus'aha. Allah burdens not any soul beyond this capacity. It is clearly evident from this verse that God Almighty's injunctions are not such that cannot be practiced by anyone. Neither has God Almighty revealed His teachings and conditions in the world so that He can assert His excellence over man in eloquence, articulateness, ability of innovation and forming conundrums, and starts to send riddles and reveals His superiority by revealing challenging statements. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, states that so He, God, may reveal His excellence and had determined from the very beginning that man is merely a weak individual and cannot adhere to His commandments. But in fact, God Almighty is much greater than this and is pure from such a vain act. Therefore, God Almighty expects man to adhere to His commandments according to the strength and capacities of the faculties and abilities He has granted them. God Almighty is not like us humans, that He has just revealed His commandments so that He can assert His awe and aura, like those officers who give commandments to their subordinates to simply annoy them, and upon their failure to carry them out, they humiliate and shame them. In fact, God Almighty's mercy for mankind is uncountable. And if man adheres to the commandments that God has given to him, He rewards him manifold. God's expectation of man's actions is according to his ability and rewards him abundantly. Therefore, if God Almighty is so benevolent towards man, then shouldn't man endeavor to adhere to his commandments according to his abilities? Indeed, a true believer would certainly do so and should do so. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, explaining the verse La yukallifu Allahu nafsan illa wusaha, states that the emphasis of the Shariat is not on harshness but rather it is on gentleness. In other words, everyone will be dealt with according to their abilities. The Shariat affords comfort and ease. Therefore, by stating, according to their abilities, God Almighty has outlined both the lowest and the highest limits. He has set its boundaries. He has set the boundaries of human intellect according to every individual's own intellect and knowledge, and also set the boundaries for their actions, with the exception of someone who is mentally ill or insane. Even a person with a very low intellect has been instructed to adhere to the commandments according to their abilities and capacity. God Almighty desires for everyone to acquire faith. Therefore, He has even set a standard for someone who possesses very little intellect, so that even they can acquire faith according to their own ability. If He had not determined a standard for those with low intellect, then it was not essential for everyone to believe. It would not have been compulsory for everyone to believe, but only those with high level of intellect and abilities would be required to believe. If someone is unable to comprehend something, then he cannot be held accountable for not adhering to it. Therefore, God Almighty has set various standards to accommodate all levels of intellectual abilities. Some people are highly intelligent, whilst others are not. Some have more capacities than others. Even in our worldly matters, we find that some people, on account of their mental abilities, are able to exceed all others, while some have a mediocre standard and some lag behind. Then, in various professions, we also find that some excel in one particular profession, whilst others excel in another profession. In education, some are inclined to one particular subject, whilst others are inclined to a different subject. Thus, these are all natural aspects, whereby our inclinations and interests lead us to do different things. Nonetheless, not everyone is the same, and nor has God Almighty created everyone the same, and neither can circumstances allow them to be the same. humans have different abilities. Even if equal opportunities were presented, there will still be some people who will excel and some will lag behind. Aside from intellectual ability, there are many other factors that play a part in this, and it is the same in matters of belief. Just as in worldly matters, these differences are apparent, similarly there exists one in matters of belief and faith. There are some on the basis of their individual abilities who surpass others, while some lag behind in adhering to God's commandments. We can expect from everyone to have belief. But we cannot expect, and nor is it possible, for everyone to have the same standard of belief and practice. God Almighty does ask why people do not believe. This is also mentioned in the Holy Quran. And why do they ruin their afterlife? However, there is no demand in the Holy Quran which asks why everyone doesn't have the same faith as Hazrat Abu Bakr and Hazrat Umar. A hadith relates that a man asked the Holy Prophet, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, about Islam. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, the five daily prayers are obligatory. He asked if there were any other prayers. He was told no. But if he wanted to, he would offer the nafil, the optional prayers. Then the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that fasting for 1 month is obligatory. He asked, were there any other obligatory fast? He was told no. But if he wanted to, he could keep the nafil, the optional fasts. The Holy Prophet, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, then told him about zakat. The man asked if there was any other kind of zakat. He was told no, but giving alms or sadaqah was a blessed option. The man went away swearing by God that he would neither do any less nor any more than what he was told. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if this man spoke the truth, he has found success. So he called him one who is successful and gave him the glad tidings of paradise. Therefore, from this we learn that Islam does not require everyone to attain the same level of faith as Hazrat Abu Bakr and Hazrat Umar. Everyone has different levels. They have their own strengths and their own levels of faith. Aside from zakat, Hazrat Abu Bakr would bring all of his possessions from his house. Once Hazrat Umar thought he would outcompete Hazrat Abu Bakr and brought half of his belongings from his home, but he saw that Hazrat Abu Bakr had brought all of his belongings. Therefore, everyone has varying levels, even in this case. Indeed, not everyone has been required to attain this high standard, but they have been encouraged by stating that offering optional nawafil prayer, one shall be rewarded for it. In fact, the optional nawafil prayers make up for the deficit in the obligatory prayers, and they increase one in faith and in belief. However, it has not been commanded that certainly everyone must offer their optional or nawafil prayers regardless of their condition. And similarly, everything else that is included in our obligations, not just optional prayers, but also financial sacrifices and sacrifices of our time. In Islam, these are all expected of the highest standard, but to one's own ability, because not everyone shares the same ability. Therefore, one particular standard is not demanded from all. Rather, the demand has been set according to the most basic standard of ability and intellect that everyone possesses. A person who has a low level in faith is not expected to attain the same standard as a person who possesses a very high level in faith. Therefore, the requirements have been set according to the varying capacities and abilities, and no one has been unnecessarily burdened. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, states that God Almighty does not burden anyone to accept something that is beyond the intellectual capacity. He only presents those doctrines that are within the grasp of human comprehension, so that his commandments do not fall beyond human reach. Therefore, one's intellectual and physical capacity determines his standard of virtue, because God the Almighty does not burden anyone beyond their capacity. Here, it should also be made very clear that God Almighty knows the state of the inner recesses of our heart. And no excuse about a lack of knowledge, lack of wisdom, or capacity will stand before God. Thus, keeping this in view, we should assess our abilities and test our faith in practice. We shouldn't assume that because we only have to attain the basic standard set, therefore we are now free. The basic standard that the Holy Prophet ﷺ set for that person was that the 5 daily prayers are obligatory, and men are required to offer these prayers in congregation. Fasting is obligatory. And if zakat is due on any wealth one owns, then that is also obligatory. These are the basic standards that everyone should keep in view and assess themselves. As I mentioned before, that in the hadith, the man went away swearing by God that he would neither do any less nor any more than what he was told. That was the basic standard that he claimed he would do. There are many among us who do not even offer their prayers according to God Almighty's commandments, which are obligatory. I mentioned that it is obligatory for men to offer their prayer in congregation. Therefore, we must always remember that we cannot deceive God Almighty. Just as we try our level best for our worldly affairs, we should endeavor far greater than that in pursuit of matters relating to faith, and we should also try to increase our capacities. We find that in this world, weak people always seek for support, but not everyone has the same abilities. Therefore, those who have greater abilities go far ahead, whilst others increasingly search for more support. However, it is never the case that one gives up simply on the pretext of having limited ability. It is possible in worldly laws that someone can be subjected to a far greater burden than their abilities can withstand. But this cannot be the case for matters concerning religion. As mentioned before, that after appointing the basic standards, there is no question of one being burdened beyond one's capacity. Of course, to understand certain matters, support may be required, just as in worldly affairs we require the support of others. The weak believers should turn towards these supports. In the same way, a weak student consults his teacher repeatedly to understand the lesson, and through the help of the teacher, his standard increases. However, if the teacher does not help, then the student will fall behind. Those teachers who are unwilling to help, it shows that they are not discharging their responsibilities and duties properly. In fact, they are breaching the trust. I would also like to draw the attention of the teachers that have been appointed for faith, that is, our Murabbiyan and Muballighin, our missionaries, and those with knowledge. That God Almighty has enhanced their capabilities, and so therefore they should employ those capabilities correctly. They should help improve the capacity of those who are weak by increasing their knowledge, because this will be a way of being grateful for the capacities God Almighty has granted them. If one is not truly grateful to God, then this can become a source of sin. Therefore, the missionaries and the other Waqfine Zindagi, the life devotees who have knowledge of religion, should pay particular attention towards supporting others and raising their capacities. They should help them to try to attain the standards above the very basic level. Or whichever level they are on, they should try to raise them to the standards above that. This will not only become a means of increasing one's faith and belief, but will also become a huge source for the progress and success of the whole community, the Jamaat. Indeed, God Almighty has told the missionaries that because of their knowledge, their capacities have been enhanced. Therefore, they should help to increase the capacities of their brothers, as God Almighty states. وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ And let there be among you a body of men who should invite to goodness. By the grace of God the Almighty, the community has jamiats all across the world which produce missionaries who have acquired religious knowledge, and their duty is to also pay great attention towards tarbiyat, the moral training of the community. They have not acquired their religious knowledge for particular occasions or to give speeches, or taking part in a debate or preaching to a few people. In fact, they have to continuously involve themselves in this task as this is a part of their duty, to train their own members and to show them ways to increase their faith and belief. They have to increase their capacities and also seek new ways of inviting the world to goodness. Some people become very experienced and say that there is no work, and whatever work is assigned to them, they quickly accomplish it. However, this is wrong. These are all excuses. Some people pay more attention to their family life than their work, and some pay more attention on themselves than is required. Even if it is only the odd case, but in a small community, these become very apparent. They spend 3 days of the week just in the stores. I am not only talking about the new missionaries. Many of them, by the grace of God the Almighty, are filled with a spirit of dedication, and up until now are working with great passion. And may Allah the Almighty enable them to continue to do so. Many of them are conscious of their time. However, as I mentioned before, that the earlier ones who are experienced, they should pay attention towards this. God Almighty has enhanced their religious capacities, and the responsibilities placed on them should be discharged properly. They should help to enhance the capacities of the members of the Jamaat, like good teachers. God Almighty knew that different kinds of people would be needed to run the various systems placed in the world. That is why He stated that there should be some people among you who should enhance in their religious knowledge and capabilities, and then utilize them for the betterment of the world. The Waqfeen is in the Gita, the life devotees have answered the call of God and have devoted their life for this purpose out of their own choice. Therefore, this knowledge and sacrifice requires them to offer its dues. It is true, everyone is not the same in learning knowledge. Everyone has their own capacities and cannot be the same in imparting knowledge, and nor can one equally benefit others. However, whatever capacities and abilities one has, he should try to utilize them to the best of his ability. If everyone takes this approach seriously, then not only would they benefit their brothers, who are weak, but they will also raise the standard of the Jamaat. Therefore, Waqfeen is Zindagi, life devotees, and particularly missionaries, have a great responsibility. They can play a vital role in elevating the standard of the capabilities of the members of the Jamaat. It is similar for the office holders. Members of the Jamaat choose them as office holders because they think that capabilities and knowledge and wisdom of the people we want to choose as office holders is better than us. I think that this should be the thinking of those electing the office holders, because without this, they are not fulfilling the right of their trust, as this is the minimum requirement. To keep the thought of rendering this obligation, if this minimum standard is upheld whilst electing an office holder, then an office holder will never be elected solely for an office. It is the responsibility of the office holders to strive towards elevating the standards of the theoretical and religious advancement of the Jamaat, and in elevating their capabilities, so that there is an increment in every person's capabilities in their own levels. If there is an issue regarding tarbiyat, moral training, then along with the secretary of tarbiyat, moral training, and president of the community, it is a responsibility of all the members of the Amla to focus on their actions and pay attention towards the tarbiyat of others. For example, there is listening to the khutbats, the sermons, listening to the dars, the religious lectures, attending the Jamaat programs for the religious, intellectual and spiritual advancement. It is the duty of the office holders to bring others in these functions. Then after benefiting from these sermons and gatherings, to continuously remind the members of the Jamaat about this. As this is the duty of the Murabbiyan, the missionaries, it is also the duty of the office holders and all the members of the Amla. Some missionaries carry out this duty in a great manner. They take notes of my sermons, my khutbats, then in their dars and gatherings, they instruct the entire week about something from it. This has a very virtuous effect on the members of the Jamaat. Many people express this to me, that after listening to the dars, our religious knowledge has increased. They say that we found out the correct way to do something. That our laziness and slackness has vanished. However, if the office holders and other responsible personnel sit idly thinking that we have read an excerpt of the promised Messiah on whom be peace, or that people listen to the khutbah, the sermon of the Khalifatul Masih, and that for this reason it is not necessary to repeat or remind these things individually or in various gatherings, then they are wrong. Even if they desist from offering advice for the reason that Khalifatul Masih's advice is not effective, how will our advice be effective? Even then it is wrong. Reminders are necessary in any case. The first thing is that some people do not understand certain things. I try myself to present the words of the excerpts of the promised Messiah on whom be peace in my own words and in a simple manner. However, even then I have assessed and noticed that some people say that we did not understand, or what they understood was not correct. For this reason, if every now and then it is explained in a simple and light manner in gatherings, then people with less capabilities can also comprehend. Hence, support is needed, and it is a duty of responsible people to provide support for the weak. Some people try to understand themselves also. Some people write to me that we listened to the khutbah or the sermon twice or thrice, and then we understood the subject matter. However, every individual does not pay attention like this. For this reason, those who have devoted their lives for the service of faith and those who are responsible to provide support for the weak, they should nevertheless strive in this way. Just now it was mentioned that prayers in congregation are mandatory for men. I often direct attention towards this. Regarding this, if those who are punctual try to provide support, then there can be improvement. It is not necessary to be an office holder alone. An ordinary man can also provide support. While speaking on this topic, Hazrat Musleh Maud, may Allah be pleased with him, once stated, "One day I arrived for Isha prayers in the mosque. I saw that there were only two rows. This was in Qadian. So I said, people should also bring their neighbors with them when coming for prayers." Hazrat Musleh Maud says that I noticed the next day that the numbers increased. Now the newcomers know that prayer is necessary. Everyone knows that it is obligatory. However, the capability to remember its importance was lacking, or slackness or sluggishness reduced their capabilities. So reminders also polish capabilities or cause their improvement. The improvement of the attendance in the prayers shows that more than strength, imitation was not the sole deterrence in visiting the mosque. Instead, laziness hindered the capability or the sense of its importance. It hindered the capability or the sense of importance. For this reason, the capability was then corroded, and slowly they became lazy from visiting the mosque. Therefore, after some effort, lazy people can overcome their slumber. For this reason, in the last few days, when I particularly directed Imam Sahib Ata'ul Mujib Rashid Sahib's attention towards some specific tarbiti issues, I also stated that mention to the members of the Jamaat to provide help for each other in visiting the mosque. Over here, if the distances are far, the neighbors should take turn in using their modes of transport. This is so that it is not a burden on petrol expenses. Some people have been practicing this from before. A friend from Gillingham told me that in the morning for Fajr prayers, his friend calls him 10 minutes before arriving at his place to be ready for the Fajr prayers. If everyone communicates with each other in this manner, then mosque attendance can improve significantly. Henceforth, it should always be kept in mind that everyone does not benefit from everything in the same manner. Reminders are always required. As I have mentioned, everyone tries to understand according to their own capabilities. Some strive themselves, and some look for support in order to strive towards improvement. For some, it is integral to become supportive or a support so that improvement of individual capabilities can be achieved. And the improvement of communal standards can also be achieved. In any case, for this reason, the Nizam-e-Jamaat and also the members who are excelling should offer the due right. Now that attention is being mentioned, attention should be maintained during the khutbah, the sermons. I have noticed, and some people themselves feel, that during sermons, people doze off sometimes. And not only do they doze off, rather they go into deep sleep and fall on the person sitting beside them with a jolt. This person, poor individual, has to bump into them again. Hence, there are such people. Then there are some with hearing disorders and they cannot hear properly. They cannot comprehend the meaning. Some are lost in their thoughts. So what is the benefit of thinking that these various types of people have heard a sermon or a speech? What effect can it have? Anyways, reminders and attention is needed for these people. As I have stated, it should be continuous. During jalsas or the annual convention, some people probably raise the slogans when they see others around them dozing off, or they want to fight their own sleep. So anyways, to listen to the speech, to the sermon attentively, to comprehend it, to act upon it, all these things depend on everyone's individual capabilities. And if reminders are continuous, then capabilities improve continuously. Then Islam deems it necessary for every believer that he strives to carry others with him. As I have mentioned earlier, it is not only the duty of missionaries and office holders. It is not only compulsory for those living far away from the mosque, rather those living near the mosque should also pay attention towards bringing their neighbors to the mosque. If people living close to Fazl Mosque or Bait al-Fudu direct the attention of their neighbors, then the mosque attendance can be increased. Similarly, in other mosques as well. And this is true Islamic brotherhood and love, that everyone takes care of each other and directs their attention towards their duties. Allah the Almighty also made it obligatory for the believers that when they progress, they should call upon their brothers, come and attain this. Those who are weak, they should draw them in and lift them up. This action will make man heir to God Almighty's favors. That is this action of drawing others in and lifting them up. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the one who guides towards goodness has equal right for reward as a doer of goodness. Hence, the one who offers prayer in congregation will be rewarded 27 times for offering his prayer in congregation. There he will also be rewarded for those people he brings along with him. For instance, if a person brings three people to a prayer with him, he will be rewarded 108 times instead of 27 times for that particular prayer. And look at the ways of Allah the Almighty, how He favors His servants. Hence, all of us who are active in our efforts for faith, we should also strive to involve others. If everyone works with this thinking, then we will not only increase capabilities of others, rather we will also increase our own capabilities while thinking that I am not going to be stagnant. That we have to progress. And after providing goodness to others, they will be entitled to manifold blessings of Allah, as I have stated, according to the hadith, the sayings of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this thinking will also cause a revolutionary change in the general development of the Jamaat. May Allah the Almighty grant us all the ability to increase our capabilities and to absorb His favors. Today also, after the prayers, I will lead two funeral prayers in absentia. One is of respected Jananul Anin Sahiba from Syria, who was in Turkey these days. She passed away on the 23rd of January 2015 at the age of 57 years. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. She was born on the 11th of January 1958. Before Ahmadiyyat, she studied several sects, keeping in mind that this life is mortal and nearness to Allah should be sought, but she couldn't find serenity anywhere. She always prayed to Allah for guidance with utmost sincerity. Finally, in 1994, she was introduced to MTA and the program Liqam al-Arab captured her heart. After watching these programs, she felt satisfied for the first time. Then she sent some questions to Hadrat Khalif Tumsi Rabi, the fourth Khalifa of the Promised Messiah, which were answered in Liqam al-Arab. She was very impressed upon hearing the answers of Hadrat Khalif Tumsi IV on Liqam al-Arab. And in 1995, she made an announcement of accepting Ahmadiyyat in front of her husband. Her daughter was with her in this decision. Although she faced severe opposition from her father, her husband and other children accepted Ahmadiyyat after witnessing her virtue, righteousness, good morals and good actions. The deceased had good morals, was simple in nature, sincere and tender-hearted person. She used to help everyone and treated both young and old with love and affection. The deceased trained Lajna Imaullah and children in Syria and Turkey. She played an integral role in teaching them the Nizami Jamaat and in inculcating love of Khilafat in their hearts and the importance of remaining connecting to it. She was a president of Lajna Imaullah for a long period of time of one of the cities, and when she moved to Turkey, she was also appointed as president of Lajna Imaullah of Iskandarun. She fulfilled this duty with utmost excellence till her last breath. Other than her husband, she left behind two sons and a daughter. All of them, by the grace of Allah, are sincere Ahmadis. The deceased was a Musia. She signed the will, but due to certain circumstances in Syria, her record was lost. Anyways, her vasiyat is under process. The administrative personnel should carry out this process and accept her will. Ali Jabir Sahib, son of the deceased, states that my mother used to prepare for tahajjud prayers regularly and advised every member of the household to do the same. She always used to say that replace the pleasure of sleeping with the ardent desire of waking up for tahajjud, so you are able to prove that the most joyful and important thing in your life is worship of God. Moreover, she used to say that express your love to God by adopting this way, that perform your ablution and be ready, then wait for the azan, as you would sit and wait impatiently for a meeting with your most beloved. Muhammad Sharif Sahib of Turkey writes that conversation regarding love of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the promised Messiah, and Khalifa and Khilafat most definitely has an effect. When someone would sit with her, she would always speak about this. She was very desirous that we fulfill the expectations of the promised Messiah. During conversations, she always related to Quranic verses or hadith or an excerpt of the promised Messiah. Fatima Juma Sahiba writes that ever since I accepted Ahmadiyyat, the deceased always took care of me and never left me. When she would hear a child reciting the Quran or Qasida of the promised Messiah, she used to encourage that child by presenting a gift. Fatima Sahiba writes that the last time we went to meet her, she said to me, "I command you by will to obey the Khalifa of the time in all circumstances. May Allah the Almighty elevate the rank of the deceased, and may He enable her children and progeny to always remain connected with the Jamaat. May Allah the Almighty enable them to serve Islam sincerely, as it was her desire that true Islam remains established in her progeny." The second funeral is a respected Habiba Sahiba of Mexico, who passed away on the 19th of January 2015 at the age of over 100 years. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. She accepted Ahmadiyyat in June 2014. The deceased accepted Islam in an old age. However, she learned prayer at this age, and by the grace of Allah, she was regular in her prayers. She used to pray a lot, was consistent in her worship, and always absorbed in the remembrance of Allah. She was a joyful disposition and a pious lady. Prior to her death, she offered the Zuhr prayers. She was engulfed in remembrance of Allah when she passed away. She was born in Chiapla State in Mexico, in the Zugzu village, in a Catholic family. Or she was born there. Her birth took place in Mexico. Her father was a prominent priest of that area. He separated himself from the Catholic Church and joined the Protestant sect. In 1981, he was murdered because of religious opposition. The husband of the deceased was appointed as a priest in his place in the sect. In 1996, her grandson, that is the grandson of the deceased, Imam Ibrahim Sahib, accepted Islam. And due to his propagation, the husband of the deceased and many family members accepted Ahmadiyyat. And now all her grandsons, granddaughters and children are Ahmadi Muslims. May Allah the Almighty exalt the ranks of the deceased, and may He always enable her progeny to stay connected with the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat, and may He enable them to follow the footsteps of the deceased.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد ان لا اله الا الله ونشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر.